Could the Bears of 2023 be doing a little bit of a Detroit Lions 2022 act here at the end of the season? What do you think?
You know what? I agree with you that they definitely have some things going for them, offense, defense, special teams. I remember a time when kicker was the biggest concern for the Bears back in 2019.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since then.
Definitely.
Cairo Santos, though, even after the first miss, just money, the reason that they won that game next to the defense.
Welcome to the Bears Wire podcast. Ryan O'Leary here playing host, joined as always by the extremely talented Alyssa Barbieri, managing editor of USA Today's Bears Wire. This podcast is powered by the USA Today Network and available on whatever platform you like the most. Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever you love. Rate, review, and if you haven't already subscribed, that's the best way you could support us. And we appreciate you all. Hi, Alyssa. Your Michigan Wolverines won against Ohio State and the Bears beat the Vikings. So you've got to be on cloud nine this week.
I'm just so excited. It was a great weekend for me. There was some really good football on Saturday, some really ugly football on Monday. But hey, both my teams won. There was a moment, though, on Monday night watching the Bears and Vikings where I was just like, it felt eerily similar to the previous week against the Lions where, you know, the Bears, you know, were holding that slight lead. And then the Vikings were battling back and the Bears were choking. And I'm like, oh God, here we go again. I'm just going to copy paste my story from last week and change the point deficit or whatnot. So, but they pulled it off. They pulled it off, right? And, you know, Justin Fields executed a comeback drive. Not sure how, I don't know the number off the top of my head, how many times he's done that in his young career, but it's not much. So it was really nice to kind of see the Bears finish a game, especially that defense. When you look at where this defense was, I mean, just after the Chiefs game, for example, because I think that was, you know, the lowest of the low, or actually, no, sorry, a week later against the Broncos, that was just the lowest of the low. And you kind of see what they've accomplished over these last 2 weeks, specifically against their division rivals, two teams that are in playoff contention. Both of them were in the playoffs at the time of this game. And then I don't know if the Bears would knock the Vikings out or if they're on the edge, but just an inspired defensive performance. And I get like Matt Eberflus, he's a good defensive coordinator. He's just not a good head coach. Although I'll give him some props in this game, but it was an ugly win, but a win's a win. And it didn't, you know, ruin their draft positioning, at least at this week. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, me too. It was definitely ugly. Almost never going to win a game when you don't score a touchdown. And the Bears didn't score a touchdown, and they still won. So that doesn't happen. That just shows you how great the defense was.
They were the only team that has done that. I think all other teams were 0-28 before.
Yeah, that makes sense. Game. Right. And there was some luck here, some lucky like deflections and stuff. The Bears made some great interceptions off deflected balls in this game. They just were very opportunistic, and the defense was excellent. Excellent. Made Joshua Dobbs look like he just got to Minnesota, right? And that's what you're supposed to do. So, yeah, you got to credit Eberflus and the Bears D, and I have more on that here coming up. I got some bad news. I think this is just my take, Alyssa. I want to get your reaction to it. You might disagree. I could just tell by the tone of your voice. You're probably going not to totally disagree. Oh, no. I got bad news for the people rooting for the Bears draft pick to be really high, because I think there's a little something going on here with the Bears, okay? It's not perfect. I know that. It's not the prettiest product in the world, right? And there was some Tyson Bagent mixed in there, but the Bears are 4-4 in their last 8 games. Justin Fields, who's had all kinds of fourth quarter shortcomings throughout his career, to your point, just led a comeback win over the Vikings in Minneapolis on Monday Night Football when the walls were crumbling down around him, right? After 2 fourth quarter fumbles, when we're all like, okay, here we go, fourth quarter Bears. Like, this is what happens. We're all, yeah, exactly, copy paste the game story from the Lions, right? That's what it is. But you're 4-8 right now. The first team out of the playoffs is Green Bay at 5-6. And I'm not saying that the Bears are a playoff team, Alyssa, but when I look at the schedule coming up, which we can get into here a little bit more in depth, could they be a team that makes a little noise late season? Not real noise, like fake noise. I'm trying to water this down a little, Alyssa, so you're not too mad at me, right? But could they make a little bit of noise late season, kind of like the 2022 Lions did, where you could see the Lions on the come? They didn't make the playoffs, but they had a chance at the end to make it. They just needed a bunch of teams to lose, and it didn't work out for them. I want to leave the door cracked open, Alyssa, that the Bears could make a little bit of noise here at the end of the year and have some momentum going into next season and actually be a team that's kind of knocking on the door. This is all assuming that Justin Fields is still the guy, but I think they got a little something. I don't know why. I'm coming out of here like smelling roses or something. I there's something about this one and the way they played against Detroit that's got me thinking this team's got a little juice, especially with the way they're playing on defense. So could the Bears of 2023 be doing a little bit of a Detroit Lions 2022 act here at the end of the season? What do you think?
You know what? I agree with you that they definitely have some things going for them, offense, defense, special teams. I remember a time when kicker was the biggest concern for the Bears back in 2019.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since then.
Definitely.
Cairo Santos, though, even after the first miss, just money, the reason that they won that game next to the defense. You know, hopefully if the Bears decide to move forward with Justin Fields, you have a young, exciting, dynamic quarterback, a number one receiver. You're going to have a couple of high first round draft picks. That defense, there are a lot of pieces in place, both on offense and defense, young guys that are going to continue to develop and get better. We've already seen Ryan Poles extend a couple of those guys on defense. Montez Sweat, by the way, just my goodness, he's going to be a stud.
He's awesome.
He could he might be an all pro next year with the Bears. He's just been incredible. The difference that he has made, especially on some of those interceptions that they had, and I guess the pass rush in general and what he does individually, the group and the pressure that they got on Dobbs, it was impressive. So there's a lot of good fundamental foundation there, I think, for the Bears. The only thing they're missing is a head coach and an offensive coordinator. I mean, in terms of can they be the Lions from last year? The Lions had Dan Campbell. I think Dan Campbell's a hell of a coach. He's probably my favorite coach in the league. He's great. Like at first, it seemed like it was not going to work right. Like he was just kind of like this silly guy trying to like be somebody. But that's just who he is. And the team really rallies around him, believes in him. They play for him. Matt Eberflus, when we were talking about this before we got on the show, when you looked at Matt Eberflus in the locker room, after that game, you're like, you told me you were wincing watching it. It's just, you don't get the same thing as when they show those Dan Campbell post-game locker rooms. No, so, no. I mean, I do think that you look at the schedule too, kind of coming down the stretch here. The Bears obviously are in a bye week this week. Then coming out of it, they're going to host the Lions. An opportunity to, to get that win that they weren't able to get in Detroit a couple of weeks ago. And then they play at the Browns, which scares me because of Myles Garrett and that pass rush. But then you have three games to close out the season, the Cardinals, the Falcons, and the Packers. There are some potential wins there. Now, obviously, you have to go out there and execute and get those wins. The Bears have yet to record back-to-back wins in the Matt Eberflus era. I don't know. Maybe could that change? Perhaps. I don't think that should change Eberflus' future. I think that he should still be gone after this. I mean, there's just so many wins that were left on the table at this point and some of the same mistakes that are happening. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in terms of can they be the Lions, one of the things, too, I was thinking about Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator. Like, he's somebody who there was talk last year, are the Lions going to fire him? Should they fire him and move forward? And we're still kind of starting to see those defensive miscues, right? The Lions defense, they're starting to come apart a little bit now. So I don't know. We'll see. I think the Bears obviously at the very least should make the change at offensive coordinator because Luke Getsy is just a disaster. It's the same old again. If this is his first season, I get it. You're learning on the job, but this is the exact same thing that happened last season. He hasn't learned his inability to make adjustments. His infatuation with screens to the point where I'm screaming at my TV.
The wide receiver screen.
He is, and just get a room already. You and the screen. I get it. But honestly, looking at the game plan, that made sense considering what the Vikings did to Justin Fields in the last matchup a few weeks ago. You wanted to establish that quick pass and gain those screens and really kind of, keep Justin Fields upright and not get him beat up again. But then you got it when the Vikings are starting to sniff that out and you're becoming predictable and you fail to make adjustments, that's when it becomes an issue. And I'm just done with Luke Getsy entirely. I'm done with Eberflus too, but could they be the Lions? I don't know. The Lions still have their head coach. I don't think the Bears are going to have I think they're going to have a new head coach next year. So we'll see. But I think they definitely are. They're building something. And I think that that's your point, is that they're really starting to build on something. They have the potential down the stretch here, especially if Justin Fields kind of goes off. And there are some opportunities to do just that, especially against this Lions defense, right? You know, where he lit it up last time. And I think he could do even more damage, especially at home. So there's definitely something to build on, I will say. I just don't think they're quite like the Lions. And I really don't want to compare them until they prove otherwise.
I just think there's a little, you just feel them getting better, right? And yeah, that's refreshing. They are getting better, especially on defense, since, you know, your some of your young pieces, your Kyler Gordons, your Jaquan Briskers, and you know, you mentioned Montez Sweat, like he just changed everything for this team. You drop him in there and it's just like a new confidence. I think maybe that's where it's coming from. I don't know. Maybe I'm just smelling the roses, Alyssa, but I feel like the Bears might have a little something. And we'll talk more about that, maybe the schedule coming up, more Getsy and Eberflus. I have another thought on that here. We'll tease that, though, because I want to get to Justin Fields, okay? Because we mentioned it, the two fumbles in the fourth quarter. The second one I don't really put on him. He was trying to make a play, and the dude just put a great hit. His helmet was on the football. Like, that happens. That's just a football play. The first fumble kind of sucked when the Vikings went down and went ahead on you. But it was very interesting. I thought the last drive, you know, Fields gets the ball, a chance to go down and win it. And we've seen him have those opportunities, Alyssa, but, you know, he or the Bears haven't come through, whether it's Fields throwing a pick or having a miscommunication with his guy or getting sacked or, you know, guys dropping a pass. Always something goes wrong for Fields in the fourth quarter. And you almost felt it coming when those fumbles came out. But last drive, the Vikings, I thought, it was really interesting how Brian Flores called it there on defense, because Flores had been blitzing a lot throughout the game. The Vikings blitzed the Bears on 60% of their defensive plays until the final drive, when they didn't blitz once. They were kind of doing a mush rush. They were kind of being really cognizant of Fields' legs, which is, you know, a thing you have to do. And I thought Fields did a really admirable job, Alyssa, of recognizing that and getting his team in position and making throws against coverage looks, right? Like, the Vikings dropped in the coverage and said, beat us. And to the Bears' credit and Justin Fields' credit, they beat him. You know, there was that nice little drive starter where Fields kind of held the ball a little bit. You could see him kind of wiggle free, extended the play, found DJ Moore, moved the linebackers with his legs, hits DJ Moore, 16-yard gain. That gets you going. It was a great start to the drive. And the throw to DJ Moore to set up the field goal. That might have been the best throw of Fields' career, right? Decisive, foot in the ground, ball out, leaned into it, had a lot of zip on that ball. DJ Moore came open and the ball was on him. Like, it was just, that was good stuff. You know, I think given the stakes, maybe the biggest throw of Justin's career. And I don't think that's hyperbole, Alyssa, when you talk about a guy who has an uncertain future in Chicago in 2024, right? So he didn't fall for the Vikings' tricks on that last drive. The Vikings were showing blitzes, backing out, playing coverage, mush rushing him. He didn't fall for the tricks. He nailed it. And I think a great call, too, on the DJ Moore catch by Getsy. I mean, I hate Getsy, too, and I have more on that here coming up. But that was a great call because, for some reason, Alyssa, the Vikings double covered Darnell Mooney. The safety went with Mooney. He had two guys on him, and DJ Moore, easily the best playmaker on the field outside of the guy holding the football originally in Fields, is wide open coming across the middle because the safety had cleared out. I mean, good job, Bears. That was a great play call. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Just like, that was an awesome moment for Justin Fields. And I thought he needed that, Alyssa. He needed that bad. It's good timing for him based on where we're at heading into these final six games or whatever it is. And especially after the two fumbles and the walls are kind of crumbling down around him, as I said earlier, and, you know, we're all shaking our heads being like, well, fourth quarter Bears, here it comes. For him to kind of buck that narrative and go down and get it done this time and kind of beat the Vikings and play those mind games with Brian Flores and outduel him, that was pretty sweet, huh? What a moment for Fields.
Yeah, that was awesome. And like you mentioned, the throw to DJ Moore, I remember, like, after the game, Moore was like, oh, shoot, no one's in the middle? Okay, well, that's where this is going.
Was that like an option route? Yeah, tell me more about that.
Yeah, like, he was saying that's a play, too, that they run in practice all the time. So, and he's like, okay, well, this is easy. So that was just, I mean, the way it just kind of came together. And like you said, Justin Fields, I mean, this wasn't a game where you look at like last week where like he really had the numbers and the overall really solid performance, or like a Washington or a Denver or something like that. But what we did see is that he's able to overcome his mistakes, right? Which is something that we've been wanting him to do and to prove himself in the fourth quarter. Because when he went out there and the first fumble, I was like, oh, and then the second, like, oh God, yeah.
The first one was really rough, right? That first one was like, oh, Justin.
Yeah. That was brutal, especially because it did lead to that touchdown where they took the lead. And it was funny because my dad told me, he's like, what, 10-9 final. And that was before the first fumble. And then it happened. I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go. 10-9 final Vikings. But no, to really see Fields really bounce back and redeem himself after making those two costly plays out. Luckily, he had a really good defense on his side that really helped save him from that second one. But that final drive where they were just able, the Bears offense, to just march down the field, like, but also you drain that clock down as much as possible, 10 plays, 66 yards. And that throw to Moore was just incredible. I mean, like, that's something that we've been wanting to see. The last time I remember a kind of comeback drive, it didn't actually end in a comeback, because it was against the Steelers on Monday Night Football, his rookie year, where he did the same thing where he led them back. But unfortunately, the Steelers got the ball back and they ended up winning. But it was really impressive after Fields goes out and he makes those mistakes and he's able to really be like, okay, no, I got this. And to set them up for that game winning field goal. And they were showing him in the locker room afterwards, and he took the time out to apologize to his teammates about the two fumbles. He's like, and he also thanked the defense for having his back. I mean, Ryan, we've been talking, and we're going to continue to talk about the future for the Bears, because we are nearing the off season here. We have about a month to go, and you know, it's going to be an important one, as the Bears are expected to have a couple of high draft picks. So when you kind of look at just Fields' skill set in general, what he's capable of doing and the ceiling, coupling that with his leadership ability and what, just how much he means to this team. And we've talked about, you know, Caleb Williams and how that's something that we're questioning at this point. And to kind of see Fields just really own it, we've seen him own things where it's not necessarily his fault, but especially they're going out, apologizing to his teammates afterwards, but also making up for it and on the field in the moment and leading that drive. It was just really impressive. So it wasn't, I feel like over these last, you know, few weeks, like, we're looking for Fields to really show that he can be the franchise quarterback. It's not necessarily going to be the same thing every week. I think last week we saw the dual threat ability. This week, I think we saw his leadership ability, his ability to overcome mistakes. Like, I think we're going to see different aspects of him as a franchise quarterback. And just because he didn't have a really good statistical game and he did have a couple of those crucial mistakes, which we can't just brush off, but this was something new that we're seeing from him as well, and something that you have to take into account when you're evaluating whether he's going to be your franchise quarterback moving forward.
Yep, I agree 100%. And I can't remember the play. I don't have the play sheet in front of me right now, Alyssa, but I remember on that final drive, Fields did run with the ball. And I remember vividly him wrapping it up with two arms on his chest. Do you remember that? So, like, he was hellbent on not only getting them down the field to win, but also not screwing it up with the fumble. You could see him working through that. So, yeah, he was definitely not fumbling.
He picked up a first down with that, too.
And he was not going to fumble. I promise you that. You're going to have to rip that out of his cold, dead arms. More thoughts on Eberflus and his defense, and Getsy, too. Like, Luke Getsy, like, You watch that play, the game-winning play to DJ Moore, the way Fields threw that football, delivered it on a rope right on the money. It's like, the kid can throw. So can we let him throw? You had a great stat about how many throws the Fields actually made down the field. We'll talk about that here coming up next. First, let's get some fantasy advice, though, from thehuddle.com.
Corey Bonini of thehuddle.com here to bring you fantasy football strong plays for week number 13. Quarterback Russell Wilson, Denver Broncos at Houston Texans. Wilson ran a season-high 11 times in week 12, and he gets to take on a Texans defense that is allowing 20.8 fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks. A quarterback has gone for at least 25 fantasy points in 3 straight against this defense, and 6 of the last 7 contests have resulted in 21 or more fantasy points for the position. With 6 teams on bye, Wilson should be a fine play. Running back Ezekiel Elliott, New England Patriots versus Los Angeles Chargers. This one is short and sweet. Zeke is a reasonable flyer for a cheap touchdown against a feeble run defense in a week in which a half dozen franchises are on bye. In the last 5 weeks, only 4 teams have given up a touchdown at a higher rate than the Chargers. Wide receiver Jahan Dotson versus the Miami Dolphins. Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin has posted 1 fantasy-relevant day in the last 5 weeks, and we've seen Dotson rise in that time. The second-year receiver has a goose egg in that stretch, which cannot be overlooked, but he went for at least 10 PPR points in the other 4 outings, scoring 3 touchdowns along the way. The Dolphins have given up generally neutral numbers to the position in that same time frame, but we're looking at the 7th weakest defense at limiting wide receiver scores in relation to receptions, which was the 11th most allowed since week 7. Plus, there's a strong likelihood Washington will be forced to heave the ball all day long to keep pace. Tight end Dalton Schultz, Houston Texans versus Denver Broncos. Schultz has scored 2 in the last 5 weeks, and his returns have been erratic, posting anything from 1.2 fantasy points all the way up to 29 in PPR scoring. The veteran's worst day with a target in 2023 came in week 12. Denver has allowed tight ends to run wild in the last 5 weeks. This is the 2nd best matchup in both primary fantasy scoring systems, and all of the key fantasy metrics for scoring fall inside the top 10 in that span. Expect a big day from the former Dallas Cowboy. For more award-winning fantasy football news, tips, and advice, please be sure to check out thehuddle.com.
All right, Alyssa, we are back. And I wanted to do a quick minute on the defense, if you don't mind. You know, we've been talking about Fields a little bit there in that first segment. Now, Joshua Dobbs, I love him. But we talked about it last week. You probably remember me saying this. Like, dude does 2 things that are glaring. And one of them is he holds the ball, right? I did remember when I compared him to Ben Roethlisberger. Sorry, Josh. Yes. I don't mean to do that. But last week I compared him to Ben Roethlisberger, and isn't he Roethlisberger out there? It's like he gets the ball and he's holding it. Wiggle out of some pressure. Still holding it. It's like, dude, throw the ball. What are you doing? It's just crazy how long he holds it. It's just wild. There is zero timing to that Vikings passing game, and I thought the Bears did a great job being disciplined on the rush. Right, Dobbs. 2 carries for 11 yards. He's a guy that holds the ball, lets a play break down, and then kills you with his legs. The Bears didn't let that happen to him. So I thought that was a huge key to the game. Never mind all the turnovers and all that. You know, he throws you interceptable balls. That's just part of Dobbs' game. That's the 2 things I think he needs to fix. He has to get rid of the ball. He can't hold it like Ben Roethlisberger used to. And he has to stop throwing these balls that are in danger, right? Dobbs does that way too much. He did it again, and the Bears made him pay. But you got to credit that group, right? That Bears defense, and you got to credit Matt Eberflus with this turnaround, right? Guys are in the right positions to make plays right now on that defense, and you got to give it to Eberflus. He's not our favorite head coach in the world, Alyssa, but he's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and he deserves some flowers for this one because the Bears scored 4 field goals on the road on Monday night and somehow won. It's like, what? So huge ups to the defense, and you got to give Eberflus his flowers, right?
I do. And if you would have told me that the Bears would have ended up scoring 4 field goals, I would have said that they would have gotten just blown out.
Same.
Like, would have been my
absolutely
guess.
I mean, what are the odds there? Not high.
Yeah. Especially when you factor in what this defense looked like earlier in the season, where it was brutal. Like that early stretch, like, I mean, when I do like these statistical posts every week, and like, it's still like kind of impacting their points per game for the season. But like, when you look specifically at like the last few games, and cause that's the thing, it's about progress, right? And the same thing when you look at Justin Fields and, you know, what he's been able to do since that Denver game, right? As compared with the first 3 games of the season. So there's noticeable progress here, and what Eberflus has done with this defense is nothing short of impressive, considering just how bad they were last year and this season. So to the point where, I mean, even obviously they can't do what they did last week against the Lions. Like that can't happen. But, you know, watching them kind of really step it up here, especially after the Vikings had taken the lead, like first they kept it with it. Like, I mean, the offense really should have, this game shouldn't have been close if the offense did its job, considering what that defense did, 4 interceptions of Josh Dobbs, and, you know, they win by 2 points. I mean, that's the thing. We want both the offense and defense to kind of be on the same page and the same level. But I mean, with the Bears, it feels like one is doing well and the other isn't. Right. But when you have a defense that performs like that, it's going to be enough. And I mean, my goodness, just you look at like the pieces that are in place now. Trading for Montez Sweat, I think, is going to be a move that we look back on as something that really impacted and changed this defense. And it might ultimately be something that saves Ryan Poles' job. I mean, this is something heading into the offseason, a lot of uncertainty, especially with, I think we're leaning towards Matt Eberflus not being the head coach, but Ryan Poles, that's something to watch because Kevin Warren is now in charge. Maybe he wants to bring his own guys in. That's something interesting, but just kind of the pieces in place on defense, I think, and what Eberflus has done as a defensive coordinator, I will give him credit for that. I don't hate the guy. I don't want to. He seems like a really cool guy, but as a head football coach, he needs to be better. This is the Chicago Bears. You can't, this is like the charter franchise. This is unacceptable. So you need to get it done. And I think ultimately he already lost his job. I think having Kevin Warren there helps, but I will give him credit where credit is due, and he's definitely earned it. I don't know. We'll see what unfolds down the stretch here, but just really impressed with, you know, what he's done with this defense and with the team on Monday night. Like that was impressive. But now let's see, can he win back-to-back games? Because the Bears were one field goal away from having another franchise worst losing streak. They already had the 14-game losing streak under Eberflus, the 10-game home losing streak under Eberflus. They're about to have, I believe, it would have been 14 consecutive divisional losses, most of those under Eberflus. Like, I mean, like that's the kind of stuff where that's fireable offenses right there. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I mean, he's done really well with this defense. It's like, can we keep him as defensive coordinator, get rid of Lou Getsy and bring in like an actual head football coach, Jim Harbaugh? That's the only thing I would accept him leaving Michigan is if he went to the Bears, by the way. So,
yeah, I think that's a fair question, right? I mean, you know, wishing Eberflus out as head coach, but wishing he would stay as defensive coordinator because he's that good. I mean, he is good on the defensive side. You have to give him credit. This defense was awful to start the year. Awful. But I can't, and at the time I was blaming Eberflus, but I shouldn't have because he was stripped of all his best players and they've been rebuilding that side of the defense. And now your young guys are stepping up and you're adding pieces like Montez Sweat. You didn't let a guy like Jalen Johnson get away. And now you've got some veterans, you got some young guys and stuff's starting to come together for that group. And you're seeing Eberflus cook a little bit, just like he did when he was with the Colts. So, but like in terms of standing in front of a room, Alyssa, you mentioned it earlier. Like I did see that clip of him addressing the team. You see Ryan Poles in there. I think you mentioned that Kevin Warren was in the locker room too, right? Post game.
Yeah.
So there was like kind of a Bears party in there to celebrate this win over the Vikings. And boy, when Eberflus was talking to the team, I was cringing. I was like, oh God, it was just something uncomfortable about hearing him address the team. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. So I don't know if I believe in him as a head coach. I mean, to your point, he seems like a great guy in the same way that like you meet your buddy's grandfather, you know, and he's a really nice guy, you know, like that's how
that's the perfect comparison.
He's a nice guy, but I don't know. I feel like there's a chance because I've been high on the Eberflus is not going to make it past the first Monday of the offseason. That's been my take. I've stuck with it to this point, Alyssa, right? We talked about it after the Lions game at length. I mean, it was like, that's the silver lining here for Bears fans is that Eberflus will be gone on the first Monday of the offseason. But now I'm cooking up this other take where what if the Bears win some games and the defense continues to dominate like this and there's some positive momentum going into the offseason for Eberflus. And now here's my hypothetical question to get us into the bye week, Alyssa. What is the chances that Eberflus does enough to save his job? The Bears keep both Eberflus and Justin Fields, and it's Luke Getsy who gets fired. And you go bring in the offensive coordinator, and you say, and it's Ryan Pohl saying, okay, Eberflus, you got the defense, but we're bringing in a game managing head coach style of, you know what I mean? Like a big name offensive coordinator. I don't have the name for you right now because I'm not smart enough, and that's going to come in the offseason, but we're bringing in a guy that's going to handle the offense for you, right? And you're going to focus on the defense. There's a lot of coaches that do that kind of thing. So talk through that hypothetical with me a little bit, right? Eberflus saves his job because his defense continues to dominate over these next few weeks. And there are some dominatable opponents, Alyssa. And it's Getsy who's gone and Eberflus and Fields still here in 2024. Could that happen? Could you see that scenario?
Honestly, I could have seen that scenario, and I'll tell you why it's the could have, where Luke Getsy winds up being the scapegoat, although it's not, you know, necessarily like wrong, because like he's a big reason why this offense is struggling. And especially if you ultimately decide to keep the head coach and the quarterback and the GM on the same timeline, right? And we talk about this a lot as well, where it just seems like the Bears continuously, like they will fire the head coach and then the quarterback rolls over to the new head coach and then the quarterback's gone and then the new head coach gets to draft his guy and then we start this cycle all over again because then the head coach is gone and then the new head coach inherits the other quarterback. So like I could see that happening. I could see like, hey, you mentioned if they replicate something like the Lions were able to do and show signs of progress, which I would have to believe. I'd have to see it to believe it, because like I mentioned before, Eberflus still has not won back-to-back games. And I mean, you're going to have to win consecutive games here to kind of show that kind of, you know, progress that you're threatening to be playoff contenders perhaps next year, which I don't think is in the cards right now. There's so many wins that have been left on the table here. I could have seen this happening, but I'll tell you why I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's because of one Kevin Warren. I think in the past that Ryan Poles, if Kevin Warren's not in place and it's Ted Phillips and Ryan Poles has control of essentially a football operations and, you know, hey, we're keeping Matt Eberflus, right? We've heard Ryan Poles really speak highly of Eberflus in the past, though he has done that with a lot of other guys that are no longer here as well. But it really sounded like Poles, you know, wanted to keep Eberflus in place a few weeks ago, back like during like the trade deadline when he was talking with the media and all that. But I think like when you have Kevin Warren in place now and he is Ryan Poles' boss, and how involved is he going to be in this? Does he want to just move on from Luke Getsy? Is that going to be satisfying enough for him? I think he would probably, seeing this team, I keep thinking back to, I believe it was the Chargers game on Sunday Night Football when they showed Warren in the press box just as the Bears are getting just destroyed. And just, he just looks so just, well, what is this? Like, why did I leave the Big Ten for this? And then they showed Ryan Poles the same way. And just kind of like, I feel like Kevin Warren might want to make some changes so that he gets his guys in there. At the very least, I would be probably getting a new head coach. And maybe if Ryan Poles isn't on board with that, then maybe he gets rid of both of them and he starts anew. But I don't know, that we'll see, because then does the new GM and the head coach want Justin Fields still? So,
I think, wasn't it, who was on the broadcast? Was that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, Alyssa, on the broadcast? Yeah. And I think Aikman made the point, like, you know, you keep changing quarterbacks and head coaches every year. It's kind of hard to build anything. Here's the question. Like, what does it take for the Bears to prove they're building something, right? I think that's going to be the question that we're gonna have to answer. And Eberflus, I thought he was gone last week against the Lions, and now I'm not so sure after they beat the Vikings. Isn't that great? It's such a week-to-week league, the NFL.
But he should be gone, right? When you look at this team and what – because, like, on the defensive side, we did, like, put the defensive side, like, and what's happened on defense and what he's done, you know, to the side, because that's not his job technically. His job is to lead the team.
Right.
And when you look at the number of wins that they should have and how many they left on the table – how they showed up for some games and just look completely unprepared. Yep. Not just once, like several times, mm-hmm. where they just don't look ready. They don't look prepared. The game plan is just not good. Like it's repetitive. Like it keeps happening. And it's like, okay, do we keep him because he's just okay? Even though they're not really winning games. So, I mean, that's ultimately, I think, you know, you have to be able to, your team needs to win games, but we see some of the same mistakes and the same miscues at this team, the penalties too, right? We saw a lot of that in the first half in the game against the Vikings too. So it's hard to justify bringing him back when you see the same things happening that are costing the team wins, because your job as the head coach is to manage the entire team, but also to win football games. And that's something he hasn't been able to do. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe he, if they go on some kind of winning streak, which I almost just like gagged because like they haven't gone on a winning streak since Matt Nagy. And I don't even, yeah, 2018? 2021, maybe two games in a row.
Yeah. I feel one coming, Alyssa. I know. And not to make you, you know, not to make you upset to your stomach or anything, you know, but I do feel, I do feel like there's going to be a winning streak at some point over the end here. But to answer your original question, up to now, his body of work up to now, as we're speaking, he should be gone. He should be gone on the first Monday after the season. I'm sticking with that take.
Yeah.
I was just having some fun with the hypothetical. Like, what if the Bears show out over the end, this final stretch, right? What if their defense continues to dominate? Do we, and what if they look more prepared and they look like they've just got a little bit of something. They got a little juice. They got a little something heading into the offseason. Maybe that changes the narrative. That was really the question. But to this point, to right now, I can't change my mind. Last week, I had him gone. So I can't say just because you beat the Vikings with 12 points that you're going to stay. But I think, number one, and this is why I go back to Luke Getsy, it's like the offense needs to score touchdowns. They need to score points, Alyssa. They're just not – they're just too conservative. You know, we can joke about the horizontal passing game, you know, the screen game and all that crap. But it's like, it's true. You had this great stat. And why don't you go ahead about Fields' air yards in this game. Drop that stat for me.
Oh yeah. His passing chart, which just made me gag again. It was just all, and they won. He attempted 37 passes in this game and five of them went beyond 10 air yards.
Okay. And including the one to DJ Moore to win the game.
Including two on the final drive, the 16-yarder to DJ Moore, that first play of that drive, and then the 36-yarder at the end.
Exactly. So here's the point. You shouldn't have to have your backs against the wall to let him have a chance to throw the football. You know what I mean? Like, it can't get to – you have to figure out a way to be less conservative and safe and go out there and trust your quarterback, and this is what we talked about last week. When are you going to trust Justin Fields to be your guy? You finally trusted him on the last drive, and guess what? You won the football game. But it didn't have to get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, they don't trust him. They don't let him throw the freaking ball. 37 pass attempts, five of them go beyond 10 air yards. Like, that's a great stat, Alyssa. Like, holy crap. We need an offensive coordinator that's going to come in and give you a chance. Because I look at Fields and DJ Moore, and I see one of the best tandems in football right now. Statistically, they are, right? Does Fields still have a perfect passer rating throwing to DJ Moore? He used to, right? Like, those two are lethal. And you see DJ Moore without him is like, you know, just he's got like his stats are like not even half of what they are with Fields, right? It's like every time those two are together, it's like, well, cue up DJ Moore in your fantasy lineup because Justin Fields is back under center. You know what I mean? Like, those two are special. It's their first year together. Like, that could get better. And you've invested on the offensive line with draft capital the last couple of years, right? And I love the tight end, Cole Kmet. He's a good player. And you could keep building this offense around Fields, and he can throw it if you give him a chance. Look at that last throw to DJ Moore. It was right on the money, right on time. Boom, ball game, right? So can we get an offensive coordinator in here that's going to open things up and actually attack teams and put the fear of life into him? Because I think Fields could be a quarterback that defenses fear because he's so good with his legs. And you just have to account for that, right? So it's just so frustrating. The air yards stat you had really went up my tailpipe because that one really got me going because the more I look at this, the less I'm pissed at Eberflus and the more I'm pissed at Getsy in this offensive game plan. But then it comes back to Eberflus because he hired this guy and he has a say in the game plan too. So yeah, it does come back to him. But
Do you want to know what makes it worse too? Okay, this is a quote. Fields was asked after the Lions game. Do you remember when Fields hit Moore for that 39-yard touchdown?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So like he was talking about that and basically in the post game press conference, he basically said, I want to throw more deep balls. I feel like that's what I do best. what does Getsy do in this game? He gets to throw it longer than 10 yards five times.
Yeah. wide receiver screen.
It's just, that's another example of the head, the offensive coordinator. I keep bringing Eberflus into this. It's in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
The offensive coordinator and the quarterback are not on the same page. They have not been on the same page, and they will continue to not be on the same page because Getsy, there a lot of shades of Nagy where he wants to run his system and fit players into it instead of the other way around. Like, just make a system, like build a system around Fields. Come on. He's a dynamic quarterback who is a very accurate deep ball thrower, wants to throw more deep passes. And that's what you do the next week. Like, I understand, like, that was part of the game plan, but then you have to adjust as the football game goes on. Like, I don't know why I'm telling this to Getsy. He's a football coach. He's an offensive coordinator. That's his job. He should know this. It's frustrating because, like, Fields is like, I want to throw it downfield more. That's him, like, him basically kind of a subtle shot at the coaches. Like, I want to do more of that because I feel like that's what I'm best at. And then you proceed to let him throw the ball five times past the 10-yard mark. I don't know. It's
it's your job as the offensive coordinator to put your guys in position to go move the football and score a lot of points. It's not your job to be conservative and win the field position battle or whatever the hell the time of possession, whatever they're doing. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, and I know that a lot the receivers weren't getting open a lot of the time. That was a big issue too in this game. So it wasn't all on Getsy. I mean, like, Fields had to check it down or he took a sack or threw it away because he was trying to let plays develop. And that's something that's gotten him into trouble in the past too.
Yes.
Like, yep. I mean, part of it's processing, but part of it is him also wanting a play to develop and guys not getting open, especially when, you know, DJ Moore is like, that's their top guy, right? Like, that's like you were talking about, like, Fields and Moore. I saw a stat on SportsCenter after the game. DJ Moore is responsible for, I think it was 41% of the entire team's receiving yards, which leads all receivers in the NFL. And then, like, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, Keenan Allen, other guys were up there. I mean, just like his importance and like that connection, like, as an offensive coordinator, utilize it more. Remember earlier in the season when, like, DJ Moore was targeted three or four times? What?
It's mad.
How do you forget about a guy like that?
There's something special there. There's a connection there between Fields and Moore, and it's natural. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, you got to build around it, but it's wild.
But I'm on the fire Getsy train. Let's go.
Oh, that's where I'm at. Yeah. I think it's very possible that Eberflus and his whole staff is blown out, but and Getsy's involved in that. And that's, I think that's what I would predict in this moment. But who knows? Maybe the Bears win some games, Alyssa. Maybe we tease this, right? Next week, when we come back, part of our bye week show there, as we get ready for the Lions game, we can go through the schedule a little bit and maybe pick each game and try to come up with where the Bears could end. I mean, I could see them with 7 or 8 wins easy at the end of this season, which is not something I thought we would say back in the day when we were 0-4. You know, 1-5, you know what I mean? And Fields is injured after that Vikings game. 1-5 with Fields out. Didn't feel like the Bears would be at 7 or 8 wins, but I think that could be on the table. It's not the craziest thing to think about when you look at the schedule that's coming up. So maybe we'll tease that for next week. Does that sound good?
That sounds good, man. We have a bye week. I'm like, oh, is it kind of sad that I'm like, I kind of wish the Bears were playing this weekend. That's a first, I think, this season.
Telling you, you're feeling it. Just like me, there's a little something with this team. You want to watch them, but
like, I want to see, like, I don't want more of Matt Eberflus or Luke Getsy. I want to see more Justin Fields, DJ Moore. I hope Deontay Foreman comes back too. Love him. Want to see more Roshon Johnson. The defense, obviously. Montez Sweat is a beast.
Love that guy.
He's like, I'm already telling you, Ryan, he's going to be my favorite player. Like, he just, he might already be. And he's been here for, like, what, 4 games?
Yeah.
It's just, he's so good.
He's old school.
And this defense
has
a lot of playmakers.
Yeah.
Man, they're not playing. There's no football. Although I get to kind of relax and, you know, not have to stress on a Sunday or Monday or Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, you deserve it. I mean, I'm sure maybe you're
get to watch Michigan on Saturday, hopefully annihilate Iowa.
I'm sure they will. It's Iowa, for crying out loud. So yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, like if Bears fans feel bad, right, about like the offense not being able to score, watch Iowa. Their offense can't score anything.
I mean, but you know, it would be very football and just human nature for the Wolverines to beat Ohio State and then lose to Iowa, right? That would be, that's just the human element of sports right there, Alyssa. So if they're in any type
take
of
that jeopardy, back, don't put that out in the universe. Take
if they're in
right
any
now.
Kind of jeopardy, I'm going to turn off my phone because I'll be scared of whatever text is coming my
I'm
way.
I'm going to yell at you.
Yeah,
for jinxing
you,
it.
You will too. I'll tell you, Alyssa,
I'm gonna call you.
Don't mess with Alyssa during her football games. Ooh, boy, I've learned my lesson I've learned my lesson over the years. But Alyssa, I do hope you get a little bit of a break here and enjoy a weekend. And looking forward to coming back next week and talking more Bears. Get ready for that Bears-Lions game. Look ahead a little bit. For Alyssa Barbieri, I'm Ryan O'Leary. We'll catch you next week.
And as always, bear down and enjoy your bye week.